tell listeners who are not familiar with On the Media about your program and your co-host, Bob Garfield?
A lot of people think that it is about media. I can't imagine why they would have that attitude, but in any case, it is media as a mirror to all of us. It is how we are reflected in the media's eye. And by the media, I mean everything from newspapers and television to theater to advertising to, you know, Bob Garfield many years ago once did a piece on vanity license plates as a way to reflect and make your statement back out at the world. It also deals with issues of privacy and transparency and freedom of information. These are the sort of things that make journalism possible. We call them enabling condition stories. We also do pieces on technology, especially as they might affect the way that we view the world or ourselves, and even business when that becomes relevant. But everything is done from the perspective of the person who is assaulted by media or consumes media. One of the main things we try and do is focus on the narrative. What is the story you're hearing this week? Let's dig into it and see whether or not it really reflects the facts as we know them. So that is a big part of the enterprise we're engaged in now, especially in the era of Trump.
I devoured your new book, much like I did with your previous one, The Influencing Machine. I think part of the reason your book is so refreshing and empowering to read is because it feels like the truth is under attack right now. You write, reality itself is engaged in an epic existential battle. Part of the problem stems from the fact that facts, even a lot of facts, do not constitute reality. Reality is what forms after we filter, arrange, and prioritize those facts and marinate them in our values and traditions. Reality is personal. What exactly prompted you to write your new book?
After the election, a couple of weeks after, the publisher showed up in the office and said, we really think that On the Media might want to weigh in on what's going on now. And I said, well, let me think. What I could talk about is the kind of stress that people are feeling and why it seems so different from the kind of stress that anyone might feel after an election doesn't go their way. That this is beyond a candidate. It is beyond even our concern for the future of the country. This is about something very deep. And so I decided to explore what the source of that stress was, and then see if I could come up with a few general directions to help relieve it. And what I determined was that the reason why the concern, the stress, the high-pitched whine you hear goes so deep and is so continuous is because it wasn't just our values that were under attack. It was our sense of how the world worked. So I had to explain to myself why it is that the way that we believe the world worked wasn't the way it actually works, or else the election couldn't possibly have gone this way, and that I needed to get down into the weeds of how we craft our realities, how we are wired to, why we do it, and how difficult it is not to do it, and what are the baby steps we can take to figure out how the world really works in order to reconstruct our own realities along more durable lines. So that was the point of the book.
My guest is Brooke Gladstone, Peabody Award-winning journalist who co-hosts the radio show On the Media on over 400 stations, which KD&K is officially adding to our schedule next week. Brooke is the author of the new book, The Trouble with Reality. You write that by far the greatest source of anxiety for those watching the edifice of reality collapse is the ceaseless cascade of lies. But NPR has made the diplomatic decision not to call Trump's lies lies. By comparison, you seem like some kind of truth gladiator. Are you just fearless and bold and out at the edge of good taste? Or do you think there's actually a problem with NPR letting this administration off too easy?
Everybody needs to focus on what is most important. We call it a lie because we felt that we needed to jolt people into understanding what was going on. But a lie suggests that there is an intention to deceive. really what Trump is a BSer. He doesn't really care if he's telling you the truth or not. He just will say whatever advantages him at the moment. He is a classic BSer, and he lies too. And in terms of NPR, I know NPR is saying, we don't know what his intention is, maybe he's just ignorant. I think fundamentally what NPR is thinking is, unless it wants to be preaching solely to the converted, talk about what's real, but don't use language that will automatically turn people off who aren't inclined to agree with NPR or with the coverage of people who are fact-checking and truth-telling. But I get it more than when NPR, say, wouldn't call waterboarding torture. You know, that one bothered me. This one, I kind of get.
To help us understand Trump speak, you offer a taxonomy of Trump tweets devised by linguist George Lakoff. Let's leave that section of your book for readers to discover. But I want to talk about your advice, which is not to dwell too much on Trump speak. Quote, preserve your outrage for issues that reflect your values. Reserve your strength. What are you hoping readers of your new book, The Trouble with Reality, and listeners to your radio show On the Media will do with their outrage and their strength?
Most important is to keep the pressure on local representatives regarding policies that you care the most about. If it's health care, if it's the safety net, if it's the environment, bear down on those issues and do it in a way that has impact. Phoning congressional offices has impact. Signing on to a petition or joining a Facebook group does not. It's the same thing with demonstrations. If a demonstration is big, if it lasts a long time, and if it's in front of somebody's congressional office, that will have an impact. Having a march with a couple dozen people down a street doesn't really do anything. Focus on what offends your values the most. And then take practical action. Most important, organize. If you don't like the way your party is functioning in your community, it isn't present enough, it isn't out there enough, then join it. People talk about running for office. There are a lot of party offices in areas that are fundamentally, they're just moribund. They're dead. They need new infusions of blood. They need new passion. They need debate and new people assuming power. These are the sorts of things that we seed to people, which is one of the reasons why our democracy did not yield the results that we may have wanted it to.
We're just about out of time, but there's one more quote from your book I want to ask you about. You write, "The laws of human nature do not provide for the triumph of reason." Between when you finished your book and right now, are you more or less hopeful?
I guess I'm more hopeful. As a journalist, there's something that I understand now that I didn't understand before. And that is that facts in isolation don't matter unless you can make a fact relevant to a person's life and explain why incorporating this perhaps inconvenient fact, this notion that contradicts your worldview, is to your advantage and that you can do it without violating all the rest of your beliefs, then the fact doesn't matter. That's what we've seen. It isn't about information. It is about information and context. Now, public radio prides itself on context, but never has it mattered more. If you want to speak to people who are not already in your cohort, you have to explain to them in a very clear way why this information matters and how it can make their lives better if they adjust their worldview to incorporate this fact.
Brooke Gladstone is a Peabody Award-winning journalist and media analyst. She's co-host and managing editor of the public radio show On the Media, airing on over 400 stations. Brooke's funny, unnerving new book is The Trouble with Reality, a rumination on moral panic in our time. Thanks so much for speaking with me.
And thanks for having me, and thanks for adding the show to your lineup.
Yeah, we're really excited.